Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. I'm here, Sister Faiza Munshi. My guest, Sister Amina Muhammad. We're talking about the loss of a child. How do we as parents deal with the loss of a child? How do couples deal with the loss of a child? We spoke before the break with regard to a miscarriage. Women going through a miscarriage, many women do. And, you know, what are some of the do's and don'ts in terms of the relationship, in terms of people around us, in terms of us as human beings? What is it that we need to do? Now I want to speak to Amina really about the aspect of losing a child at any age. That is, you know, people lose children through illness, through accident, through drowning, through childbirth, through all of these processes that many people do lose children. And this tends to sometimes lead to a real serious disconnect in the marriage. I want to talk to Amina. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to the program once again. So, you know, we've mentioned this idea of this aspect of having lost, of losing children in during that period where, you know, it's a miscarriage. And then we have our children, and in our minds and in our lives, they're going to outlive us. We're not going to lose a child in this lifetime, and that's the hope that each and every one of us has. But Allah has a different plan, you know. And many people have lost children in at different ages. What happens to a marriage when a child is lost, either through accident or anything that is, whatever the circumstances are around that loss? What happens in a marriage? What is some of the difficulties that a marriage goes through?
I think we could really, you know, obviously go through the stages of grief. And I know that those stages really help couples and people understand loss and grief. But I know that this has been spoken about a lot. What I really want to focus on here is survivor's guilt, you know. Parents, so many parents say, I should have gone instead of my child. Why did Allah take my child? You know, why now? What did we do wrong? There's all these questions. And it's human. So, yes, we shouldn't question Allah, but we are human, and it does happen. And the thing is that what's important for a couple is learning how to show up for each other during that time. That is a crucial time, because times like that make or break a marriage, okay? And often we've seen that once the death of a child has been experienced, we see the breakdown of a marriage, right? If each individual does not deal with the guilt of the survivor's guilt and manage the transition of that and say, okay, these are the feelings I'm going through, and process them, understanding that you are two completely different individuals, right? You may be so in love, you may be the best couple, but when it comes to things like this, there will be differences in the way you handle it. And it's A, to really come to terms with the survivor's guilt and understand what that is, and then show up for each other with understanding. Okay, one of the things that, and yes, we must be strong, we must understand two things, I think, is it does help us to understand life after death. It's a harrowing reminder of the Akhirah, okay, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his infinite wisdom chooses to do that, only Allah knows. But we can't say that. As I said before, you don't say that to a couple who's just experienced that. And, you know, when the couples are with each other, it's literally, that is where communication needs to be absolutely top of mind. And sometimes people just want to shut down and process it through their mind alone, and that's okay. Sometimes people want to talk with each other. And now, imagine if you have a couple where the one wants to shut down and the one wants to talk about it. Then what do you do?
So, I can relate completely and 100% to this whole process and this whole situation, having had my own experience. And I don't often share experiences on radio, but I find that when there's something that we're talking about that is this important, I think our human nature, our human side has to come out. And the understanding that as couples, we will deal with this differently. I think as women, sometimes I find, from my own experience, my experience needed me to be strong, to stand up, to be able to deal with what was coming. My experience had been one of having lost a child, but was a twin, and my daughter survived, and she was then in the ICU. So this process was, Faiza, you've got to survive this. You've got to be strong enough to be able to take this process forward, because you are the mother, and that's it. You will deal with this, and you will deal with it in this way, and that's it. So almost like every human is going to deal with it differently, whereas my spouse would deal with it differently. Having the ability to break down at this stage, because, you know, for us as mothers, we are now nurturer, and this child needs you at this point in time. So for everyone listening, every woman would have to deal with that differently. Some may be able to have the ability to break down completely, where their husband can hold them up, or, you know, their parents or whoever it is that's close to them can hold them up. But I must say, I mean, what I find is difficult, and I think perhaps maybe I can bring that into the conversation from my own experience, is that communication at this point in time becomes very difficult. Because like you said, oftentimes one closes up, sometimes both close up, and they both just want to be in their own space. But how do you then, you know, once you've been able to deal with the initial shock and, you know, the process of saying, you know what, we've got to be able to deal with this, the next step would then be perhaps to be able to bring the communication in, how do you then decide to heal, perhaps even together or separately, but understanding that, you know, we are both going through this, maybe in a different way. But how do we then bring that aspect of communication in, especially when both have just shut down?
Absolutely. Firstly, I am very, very sorry for your loss. So, yes, communication is key. And as you said, you know, once each person is grieving on their own, because that's how they're choosing to grieve, how do you come together and how do you bring the communication back? This is going to sound really wacky for a lot of people, but words sometimes get in the way, Faiza.
Oh, I agree 100%. I think it makes the most sense, you know. Anyone who's been through that kind of trauma, really, words sometimes are too much.
Exactly.
You don't want to hear words, you know.
Literally just sitting in front of your partner, facing each other, holding you, one of you sitting with your palms facing up on your lap, and the other sitting with their palms facing down, and just letting your palms touch. And literally just feeling the moment. If you feel you want to cry, you cry. If you feel you want to laugh, you laugh. You don't need words. You just need to reconnect.
How important is prayer? I'm going to bring that in now, and we'll talk about counseling. How important is prayer at this time? Salah, dua, whatever it is. How important is praying, even praying together at this time?
Prayer is everything, Faiza. Mm. So, you know, it is that conversation, as I say, when words fail. One of my absolute favorite stories, analogies, is a little girl who was sitting and writing the whole alphabet on a piece of paper while she was making dua, and somebody asked, "What are you doing?" And she says, "I'm making dua, but I don't know what to say, so I'm just writing the alphabet and Allah will choose the words from there." You know,
yes,
that is
absolutely...
That is the power of our Creator. Sometimes if you sit on that musalla, you don't even need words. You can just sit and cry and just say, help.
100%.
You know, just help. Prayer doesn't only necessarily need to happen in a musalla. I journal. Mm. I write letters to my Creator. Okay? And it helps me because it processes. It processes my inner thoughts that I would feel too embarrassed or ashamed to share with another human being, because I'd be afraid that they judge me, that they think my iman is weak, that they think, you know. But your dua is literally what helps you. It's not the only thing you can do, and it's not the only thing you should do,
yes,
because we are human. So there are a lot of things you have to do in terms of trying to reintegrate into the world, trying to express yourself with your spouse, trying to show up for each other. And showing up for each other is a subtle art. You need to learn what your spouse needs. And again, how do you know that? You ask. You say, are you in an okay space? How are you doing today? What is the best way I can serve you today?
You know, I think if anyone's listening to the program today and they wanted to take one thing, I mean, I'm hoping they'll take a lot from it, but if they were to take one thing from the program today, I would hope it's this idea that we start asking. We start asking someone in grief, what is it that I can do for you? We start asking someone, you know, how is it, like you're saying, how is it that I can show up for you today? Whatever words you use, you don't have to use those words if you're uncomfortable, but find a way that is, you know, that you connect in whichever way you communicate, whatever kind of relationship you have, even if you speak slang, whatever it is, whatever that relationship is,
exactly.
Able to say, what is it that you need from me right now, you know? And in a way that says, I'm supportive of you, but sometimes I cannot support what I don't know.
Precisely. And, you know, you get a lot of, like, I'm going to generalize here, right? But okay. I've seen a lot of couples that I help where the man just is like, I'm not the communicative type. I'm not expressive. I'm that's not who I am, right? Write a letter. It doesn't have to be a beautifully worded, well-worded letter. It literally could be on a piece of paper, I'm here for you. I love you. How can I help? Done.
And, you know, sometimes perhaps even that emotion that you're feeling, sometimes when we're feeling sad or dejected or whatever it is, it's sometimes because we don't know how to express it, it can even come out almost as aggressive. You know, we may come out aggressively towards our partner because we just, there's things that are irritating us, perhaps because, like we said, or sometimes community would come in and say the wrong things. And the spouse may not be the one that's doing this, but everything is building up. And then we see them, the emotion, like you said, they're the ones that get the bad end of the stick almost. So maybe when there's something really important, a good thing is to take pen and paper and say, you know, this is what I'm going through. I'm hoping you can help me with this. Or what can I help you with? Like you said, put it down on paper. Maybe, and even if it's not a general, you know, something that you ever did in your marriage, maybe this is the time to start so that you can save this marriage during this time of difficulty. I mean, I've heard so many times recently that so many couples have, you know, their relationship has broken down due to the loss of a child. The marriage just cannot handle that loss.
Exactly. And it's because people are afraid to be vulnerable with each other, which is who we need to be vulnerable with the most. And then what happens? If I'm the woman and I'm feeling neglected and I'm feeling frustrated and I have all these pent up emotions, women generally have a wider emotional vocabulary than men. And it's society that has done this. It's stunted men's emotional vocabulary, right? Then what happens is I pick up the phone and I phone my mom or I phone my sister and I cry. And then the bonding and the healing happens there and not with my husband. And then he feels neglected and he feels left out. And then he then says, well, nothing I do helps, so why shall I bother, you know? And that's how things just escalate. I think the biggest misconception as couples is we think that we cannot communicate with each other. And we don't realize that we are the people we need to communicate with the most. So before you pick up, and I'm not saying phone your, I'm not saying don't phone your mom and phone your family. Please do if that's what helps. But make sure you speak with each other first. And if speaking is literally, as I said, just sitting and holding, making salah together, right? Or just sitting and holding each other, just physical contact where you are literally just maintaining that contact. You are reconnecting with each other. It is so important because what we do very well as a society is we bury grief. And there is nothing shameful about grief. There is nothing shameful about saying, I lost a child, we lost a child, we are devastated. There is nothing shameful about speaking your child's name.
I think it's really important. I mean, these seem like such basic things, right? When as you're saying them out, I'm like, you know, we would know this, we would know this, we would know this. But in a time of difficulty, we don't.
I
mean, sense of common sense, you know, becomes a part of thing of the past for that period of time. It's not a time where common sense is going to work. It's the idea that, you know, I've lost a child. Like you're saying, be able to say it out, you know, be able to. And oftentimes, I don't know if this is true or not, you can correct me. Sometimes parents are scared to say they've lost a child because of the shame, the survivor's guilt.
Yes.
You know, it's like almost like I'm not supposed to be here. you know, they are supposed to be here because they were younger than I am. And that is just, that was not Allah's plan. But it's not in our mind, perhaps, in that trauma, in that difficulty. We cannot conceive it all.
Exactly. And that is how we all need to work with ourselves to actually understand that what often we are feeling is survivor's guilt, you know, and it's understandable. And then, you know, you get people who question, so why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take children away? So those are the scattered pearls of Jannah.
Mm.
Right, those children are the ones who are going to pave Jannah for their parents.
There's no reason
for everything.
Yeah, there is such a beautiful story which got me through some of the most, you know, one of the most difficult times. And I think for those who lose a child, perhaps, you know, after they've gone through that initial shock, I think having to read those stories in the Fadaili Sadqa about the fact that when you lose a child, you know, that child will be waiting for you. I think it is the greatest gift, and it makes us realize. I heard a lecture the other day that said, in a Mu'min's life, there's no bad thing that happens, in the sense that everything has got a reward to it, you know. Even in death, there's reward. In the death of a child, there's this goodness that they will wait for you, you know, in Jannah.
Exactly.
And I think it just gives such relief to us as human beings, you know, to make sure that we understand our deen.
Yes,
that we just hold on to that. We've actually taken up all the engineer's time. I mean, I've had to tell you, we have to end in the next 30 seconds. But it's been such an incredible conversation. I think we do need to definitely have this conversation again, inshallah.
Yes.
So just a few last words from you.
I think in closing, you know, if we can just try and invite ourselves to see this in a different way and say to ourselves, I have a heavenly child and I have an earthly child. Or if you don't have children on earth, I have heavenly children, you know, that are in Jannah, and they exist. They just exist in another form. But, you know, always please be kind to yourselves, be kind to each other, show up for each other, and communicate. And for people outside, don't assume, like, please don't ever ask details of, so how did your child pass away? If a person wants to tell you that, they will. Just show up for the human. Just show up for the human in front of you.
JazakAllah, it's been an incredible conversation. I thank you so much for your time today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
To our listeners, I'm hoping, inshallah, you've enjoyed this conversation as much as I have. Until next time, from me, Sister Faiza Munshi, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.